Well, good morning. It's so nice to see you guys here this morning. We're so grateful and thankful to have everyone to be able to join in and gather with us as we enter in a time of worship and celebration. So I'm going to open up with prayer, and as people come online, we're going to just ask the Lord for a word for you. So, Father, we just pray in the name of Jesus that this morning that your Holy Spirit will just come and swoop down on us, Lord. We just thank you, God, for what you're going to do, Lord. We just thank you that that you're such a loving God. We thank you, Lord, that you have so many wonderful and thoughtful things to say to us, Lord. And we just thank you, God. And as we come together and worship and praise, and Lord, that we would just come with open hearts and receiving arms, Lord. And we just thank you in Jesus' name.
Amen. So for those of you who don't know us, I'm Michelle. And
I'm Teresa.
Thanks for joining us on today's pre-service. Yep.
I see that Terry is on this morning. Good morning, Terry.
Yes, hey, Terry.
So nice to have you on this morning. So, Lord, we just thank you for Terry. Lord, we just thank you for her heart. Lord, we thank you that she has taken her time to come and to receive from you.
Yes.
So, Father, we just thank you. We just thank you for what you're going to do in Terry and her family.
Yeah, Terry, I just keep hearing the word covering, that his covering is on you and your family and all that concerns you. And just, he wants you to bask in the reality that you are covered by him and enjoy that comfort.
So Terry, I just kind of kept on hearing the word warrior. Like I saw you kind of like carrying like this big shield, and that you have been faithful with the Lord, and you are a warrior. You war for your family, you war for your ministry, your community, and for anybody that you come in contact with. So I just bless you with that, and that you'll keep marching forward. Thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for Terry. And we have Debbie on this morning. Good morning, Debbie. She is asking for prayer for her dad. They had to take him to the ER. So Father, we just pray in the name of Jesus for Terry's dad, Jim. Mm-hmm. Father, I ask that you meet him right where he's at, Lord, that his pacemaker and his heart will just come in alignment with your word, Lord. We just thank you, God, that you are going to do a miraculous miracle in his life, Lord, and that any pain, any heartache that he has been holding on to, Father, that those things would be released, Lord, and that they would come out, Lord, and that yes. He would see your hand, Lord. We speak that over his life, Lord. Mm-hmm. We thank you, God. We thank you, God, that for what you're going to do for Jim.
Yeah. We speak to Jim's heart right now. We declare and decree realignment of the pacing of his heart, the rhythm of his heart. I also pray, Lord, your peace over that entire situation. Station your angels around him to guard him and protect him while he's in the hospital. And we thank you for a divine acceleration so that a bed is quickly made available and a doctor, an excellent doctor, the best one for him, is made available. And, Lord, we lift up Debbie. We just pray your peace over her, that you would comfort her right now, that you would reassure her that you're with her, you're present, and that you have her and her dad in your hands, Lord. We just thank you right now for covering her fully and taking care of her, Father, in every way, Lord. We thank you for divine healing, whether you choose to manifest it through medical intervention or just doing it with your own hands. We thank you that either way, by his stripes, Jim is healed.
Yes, in
Jesus' name.
Thank you, Jesus. And I keep on getting a name by the name of Cheryl, and heart issues. I don't know exactly for sure what is wrong with what's going on. But so, Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that every heartache, every heart issue that's going on in Cheryl's life, Father, I ask God that you take and remove those things, whatever the blockage. Maybe there's a blockage or something. That she's been carrying on or caring for so long, so many burdens. So, Father, I just pray in the name of Jesus, whatever it is, it will be broken in the name of Jesus, and that she would see your hand and your healing, Lord, and your blessings in her life, in Jesus' name.
Yeah, I keep hearing the word arteries as you were praying, Teresa. I saw the word arteries and the clogging of the arteries. And so, Lord, we just thank you for clearing those arteries right now. Anything that, any complication, anything that is starting to get clogged up, plaque, etc., that would just be supernaturally cleared right now in the name of Jesus, and that there would be no issues in the clearing. Sometimes clots get cleared and other things happen. So, Lord, we just thank you that there's a safe clearing of these arteries. And I'm actually going to pray real quick for my aunt in Nigeria. She's in the hospital as well. Her name is Elizabeth. And Lord, we thank you for strengthening her body. We thank you, Lord, for attending to her, healing her, and giving her supernatural wisdom on what next steps to take, Lord. Thank you. Is it Linda?
Good morning, Linda. It's so nice to have you on this morning.
Yeah. Welcome.
Father, we thank you for Linda. We thank you, God, for her heart. We thank you that you have made her a ray of sunshine. I just see you as a ray of sunshine, a ray of hope, a ray of joy to anybody that you come in contact. You're just walking down the sidewalk or going to the store. I just see you as a ray of sunshine, and people can tell, like they look at you, they're like, there's something different about her. There's something that she has. She has such joy. She has such peace. So, Lord, we just thank you, God, that for Linda, that that you are continuing to work in her life, and that you're continuing to grow in her and showing yourself more to her. We thank you, God.
Thank you, Lord. And, Lord, we just pray a covering over those who are watching or may watch in the future, I don't know, who may be grappling or struggling with loneliness. I just saw the word loneliness, and Father, I pray that you would, even in your word, even when the world was perfect before Satan came and messed things up, you said that it is not good for man to be alone, and that's when he had perfect relationship with you. And so there is a purpose and a place for community and for friendships and for relationships. So Lord, I just pray that you would be the provider of relationships, companionship, and community for those who don't currently have it. And we thank you for bringing that forth.
So the thing that keeps coming to my mind is mental mindsets. Sometimes there's been things that mindsets or things that have been spoken into our life or things that were done to us or whatever it may be. But so, Father, I just pray in the name of Jesus that all the mental mindsets will be broken and that we would pick up your mindset. We'll pick up your idea and what you have to say. Lord, we thank you, God, that you do affirm us. Lord, we thank you that you do call us to you. Lord, we just thank you, God, that you love every single one of your children. Father, we just thank you, Lord, that whatever it is, maybe certain blockages in our minds of things that we can't get past through, something that we keep struggling with every day, we just, it's a struggle. And so, Father, I just pray in the name of Jesus, whatever it is, Lord, that you would break that. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. So good.
Oh, good morning, Jen. It's nice to have you on this morning. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Lord, we just lift up Jen to you. We thank you, Father, for her life. We thank you for her light, that you are making room to shine wherever she goes. So we thank you, Father, for working in the just hear the word, nooks and the crannies. He's working in the nooks and the crannies of your life, and may his hand be evident in every area, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Lord, we thank you for Jen. We thank you that you have given her many gifts and talents and abilities to change hats at a minute's notice. You have so many hats, Jen. You play so many different roles, but you remain faithful and obedient in each of those particular hats, of those roles that you are given, and you just want to do everything with such excellence. So, mm-hmm. So Father, I just thank you for Jen. I ask that you continue to increase blessings, Lord, in her life, and that she won't grow weary, Lord, and that sometimes wearing each of those hats, we can get weary and tired. And so, Father, I ask that you give her supernatural strength and the endurance that she needs to keep going every single day.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. Yeah, guys, if you have any other prayer requests, if there's anything in particular that we can be praying for, let us know. Let us know.
Yeah.
It's about 3 minutes, don't we?
And Lord, we just thank you for this time of worship as we come and gather together, as we sing praises to you, Father. I just ask that your hand would be upon the worship team, Lord, that you are there in our midst. Lord, we're just so thankful that you are going to move and that you're going to speak to every single one of our hearts, Lord, that there's a specific song or a specific word that's going to be said, that it will speak right to every single one of us. Mm-hmm. And Father, we just thank you, God, for Tana as she brings the word today, Lord. Yes. We just thank you, God, that we know that you're going to move with her, Lord, and that you're going to give her the right words, the knowledge and the wisdom, exactly what to say and how to do it, Lord. And we just thank you, God, for what you're going to do in this service today.
Yes, Lord. We also thank you for protection, divine protection, as people drive in the snow. We can't believe it's snowing in the end of March. What is going on, God? But Lord, we just thank you for your protection and for the health of the congregation, and that there would just be numerous God moments and God winks for everyone who is here this morning and watching online. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. All righty. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
You take care.
Good morning. Let Christ be lifted high. We We look to him now. We're going to worship this morning.
Who am I that the highest King would welcome me? I was lost, but he brought me in on his love.
Place today. We were praying that this morning. God is good. And he is great.
Such boundless grace, the God of broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope.
Once more.
Hallelujah. Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah. That has lost its grip on me. You have broken.
You today. Thank you for being in our presence.
Mm. Yes, Lord.
We want to look to you for everything that's come up in our lives. All the things that we fear over, all the things we fret over, we give them up to you now. We just release them to the air. They're gone. They go. Right now we focus on you, God. Right now we focus on you.
Amen.
God, I look to you. I won't be overwhelmed. Give me vision to see things like you do.
God,
I look to you. You're where my help comes from. Give me wisdom. You know just what to do. I won't be overwhelmed. Give me vision to see things like you do.
God,
I look to you. You're where my help comes from. Give me wisdom to know just what to do.
I will love you, Lord, my strength. I will love you, Lord, my shield. I will love you, Lord, my rock.
Forever, all my days, I will love you, God.
If we don't always feel that way, God always loves us. We need to remember. Thank you, Jesus. You're so good. Holy, holy God. Let's sing God Reigns again, because He reigns in this place.
Thank you so much, praise team. Guys, let's give them a round of applause. They did such a beautiful job. Thank you, ladies. It was so good. Thank you. Well, welcome. Good morning, everybody. I'm going to pull this over here. It's so good to see everybody this morning. If you look around, you might notice we have a disproportionate number of women. We actually, this weekend, our church is hosting a men's retreat at Swan Lake, so a lot of our guys are out there for the weekend. I talked to Ryan last night, and he sounds like everybody's having a really great time. They've had some wonderful time of worship and listening to God. He said they were doing some axe throwing, so I'll have to ask Terry. I don't know if that's on the women's ministry docket. I don't know. Probably not. But we wanted to just welcome everybody this morning, both to those who are in-house this morning and those who are viewing online. Welcome to you. My name is Tracy, and I'm our youth pastor here. And just wanted to welcome everybody and talk a little bit about some things that we have coming up, because our men's retreat isn't the only activity that we have coming up here. So next Sunday is going to be, was it next Sunday? It's Palm Sunday already, right? March 24th. So we're going to have a really fun morning planned. We're going to do pancakes and palms. So for Palm Sunday, we're going to have a special time where we get to have breakfast all together. I should ask, do you know exactly what time it kicks off? Either Diane or Renee, do you guys know? 8 a.m.? Perfect, perfect. So before the service starts, between 7:30 and 8, if you guys want to arrive for breakfast, we'll have some pancakes and fellowship time together. And then the following Friday is going to be the kickoff of our resurrection weekend. So starting on that Friday, which is Good Friday, March 29th, we are going to have a youth-led Good Friday service. So this is not a youth event for youth. Okay, this is going to be led by our students, but it's for everybody to join. So we want to invite you all to come out to that. And it's going to be a really sweet time of just contemplation and just being before the cross and really having a time of remembrance for that Good Friday. So make sure you mark your calendars to be there. That's going to be at 6 p.m. And then, of course, you guys, grand finale, Resurrection Sunday, right? March 31st. We love, love, love celebrating Resurrection Sunday. So please plan to join us for that special Sunday. And something kind of fun this year, a lot of families, you know, maybe you have family in town, maybe you've got relatives who are coming who maybe don't normally make it to church. And we have a photo booth that Sunday. So plan to be there with your family, take a photo, have something to remember that special Sunday. So that's going to be a fun event. I think that's it for our announcements, guys. We do have in front of you, in the seats in front of you, there's a QR code. So be sure that you scan that, because that's going to have details for these announcements and then some other events that we have going on at church. So go ahead and scan that to make sure you're in the know. And then we're going to move into a time of prayer now. So for those of you who, most of you guys are familiar with how our prayer time works, but this is a family prayer time. So we're going to invite our youngsters, all of our kids, youth, anybody who wants to come up here for family prayer time. And one of the things that we really believe about kids here is that they should be seen and heard. And so we really create a space where they can join in our family prayer time. We're going to actually, part of our heart is that we're training them and equipping them to be world changers. And so we really want them to participate in the prayer time. We're going to give them a space and a voice if they have things that they want to pray for. We're also a prophetic church, which means that we really value hearing the voice of God. So if they get a prophetic word or a word of knowledge, or maybe they want to pray for somebody, they get the name of somebody that they want to pray for, we're going to create a space for that. But family prayer includes everybody. So if you guys have something that you would like prayer for, we want to invite you to text it in to us. And my friend Lizzie here, she's one of our awesome youth students. She's going to be reading the prayer requests that you guys text in. And then we're going to pray for those requests as a family. Okay, so speaking of youth, I just have to highlight not only Lizzie, but we have some really cool students around here. And this week, our family took a vacation to Texas. We went and visited grandparents. And both Lizzie Maloney and Callie stepped in as youth leaders to facilitate youth. And so they are so awesome. I just want to give them kudos for that. We have some really amazing students here. So we will take some time now to just have some family prayer. We'll kick it off with our kids if they have anything. And again, adults are welcome to pull out your phones, text in your prayer requests, prophetic words, and we'd love to pray for you guys this morning. Okay, we did have a request from even before the service started to pray for Brenda. And her need is that she had some major surgery and needs prayer to mend quickly back to good health. So let's just pray for Brenda. So guys, I'll pray. And then if you guys want to just repeat after me, or if you want to just pray silently, you can. But we're just going to lift up these requests. So Lord, we pray for Brenda. We ask for total healing. That she would be restored to perfect health, and that you would be so near to her in her time of need. Restore her physically, mentally, and spiritually, and show her who you are. In Jesus' name.
Okay, the next one is for prayers for mental health and getting past that.
All right. So, Lord, we just pray for those struggling with mental health this morning. We just ask that you would bring total restoration, God, to the mind, to the spirit. We just ask that there would be encouragement nuggets along the way, that those who are struggling with anxiety, depression, other types of mental illness, God, that they would feel your presence in a real and a tangible way. And we just ask that you would be so near to those, God. I just ask that you would just breathe down encouragement and love and hope. We just speak hope over anybody struggling with mental health right now in the name of Jesus.
Okay, the next one is from Spencer, and he said he got the name David, who was dealing with intensive chemotherapy.
Awesome. Okay, hey, Spencer. I don't know if he's here or online, but we're going to pray for, what was the name?
David.
Okay, so this is probably a prophetic word. So this is so cool. This is one of our youth students stepping out. He's sensing, he's feeling that he needs to pray for David, who's going through chemotherapy. So let's just pray for him. So Lord, we pray for David. We just ask that you would heal his body. We pray against cancer. We say it is canceled in the name of Jesus. We just ask that the chemotherapy would work. That there would be no negative side effects. And that David would find complete healing. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Tracy, your phone. Oh, did I do? Yep. The next one says, pray for parents, and then it says...
Oh, and we have a birthday blessing. Is Barb here? Barb Burris? That was maybe from a few days ago. Well, blessings to Barb for her birthday. Oh, Kaylin. Well, I'm glad. So was that a prophetic word? Happy birthday, Kaylin. That's exciting. Any other birthdays in the house? I love that. Happy birthday, Kaylin. That's great. Well, let's pray for parents, okay? So, Jesus, we just pray for parents. We ask that you would encourage them. That you would strengthen them. That you would give them wisdom and discernment for raising their children. That they would be able to guide their children in a way that's pleasing to you. Open up their children's ears and hearts to receive what their parents are giving them. And we pray for encouragement. For the parents to continue the good work. In Jesus' name. Amen.
So the next one is for Christopher, so he can come home to his family. It says, bind him up from his addiction and lift him up.
Yeah, let's pray for those who are struggling with addiction. So this is Christopher. Yep. All right, and there's probably others. Maybe some of your own families are touched by addiction or people struggling with different substance abuse. So let's just pray against that. So, Lord, we pray for Christopher and anybody else dealing with addiction. We pray that those chains would fall off in the name of Jesus. That there would be total and complete healing and freedom. That today would be a new day. A new beginning. A new start with sobriety. And we pray this in your name, Lord. Amen.
Okay, the next one is prayers that my family develops a relationship with Jesus.
Yeah, absolutely. Jesus, we pray for those who are searching. We just ask, God, that they would find you today, God, that you would reveal yourself to them in a powerful way, God, whether it be through a dream or a vision or an encounter, or maybe it's through a subtle whisper of the Holy Spirit, God. Our hearts long for those who are not yet knowing you, Jesus. And we just ask that today would be the day of salvation, God, that the prodigals would come home and that there would be just a new day of salvation for those who we've been praying for, God. You know that our hearts have been praying for salvation for some of our family members and our friends. And I pray that today would be that day. In your name, Jesus. Amen.
So this person sent in a couple, but I'll just pick a couple of them. So the first one is divine orchestration of kingdom marriages and then clogged arteries cleared.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so let's just pray for marriages first. You guys can just pray with me. Jesus, we pray over marriages today. We ask that you would bring hope. We ask that you would bring life. We ask that you would bring breakthroughs in communication so that marriages can grow strong and families can have a firm foundation. We thank you that marriage was your idea, your plan, and we thank you that the enemy cannot overcome your plans. So we speak life over marriages. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Any other clogged arteries?
I don't think. Yeah.
All right. And then that same person texted in a request for prayer over clogged arteries. So let's go ahead and pray for that too. So Jesus, we just pray for those struggling with clogged arteries. Jesus, we just ask that right now that you would clear those arteries, God, that you would remove any buildup or plaque, and that you would just, I just see like a tunnel, that you are just creating a clear tunnel, that those arteries would just be functioning properly, and that there would be full restoration of the heart, God. We just pray against any heart attacks or any heart disease at all. And we just pray that anybody struggling with clogged arteries would, we believe for a right here, right now miracle, Jesus. And we just declare that in your name, Father. Amen. Let's maybe do one more here. Do our kids have anything they want? Okay, let's do one more here.
So we've gotten two for people who either have lost legs or lost the use of their legs, Jacob and Ray.
All right. Do any of our kids want to pray for that? This is somebody who is having problems with their leg. Did they lose a leg or the function
of
a leg?
They lost a leg, and then the other one, they lost use of legs due to cancer.
Sure. Do any of our kids want to pray for that? It's okay if you don't. Okay. I'm going to pray for that then. So Jesus, we just pray for those who are struggling with leg issues, God. In one case, it sounds like this person has completely lost their leg, Lord. And in another, they've lost the function of their leg. And God, I thank you that when we feel like we can't stand, God, we can stand on you. And so I just pray that these two people would be encouraged, that they would feel your love, they would feel your support. God, and you're a God who's big. We even pray for the crazy supernatural things, like maybe that leg would grow back. Maybe that function comes back at 100%, Jesus. We're not afraid to pray those kind of prayers, Lord. And Lord, I just ask that in the waiting, that there would be a peace, that there would be a comfort, and there would be a true and deep understanding that you are there and that you will meet all of the needs, God, even when our physical bodies cannot. And so we just lift up these two in your name, Jesus. Amen.
Okay.
All right. Here's what's next. We, in just a minute, we're going to release our children to go to the different areas of ministry that we have going on. At that same time, we're going to have a time. I'm going to have you guys hang on 1 second, okay? 1 second. In like 2 minutes, we're going to go, okay? And for those of you who aren't familiar with the building, our babies and toddlers are going to be straight down this hallway. Our elementary students are going to be in the gym. And our middle school and high school students are going to be up the stairs in our youth room, okay? At the same time that we dismiss the kids, we're going to have a time of offering and communion. What offering time looks like here at the gate is there's a couple ways you can give. You can give online. We'll probably pop that up on the screen here. You can give online and you can text in. If you have a physical gift that you'd like to give, you can come up the center aisle, and we have baskets on either side here where you can plant your gift. And at that same time, we have open communion, okay? You don't have to be a member of this church to take communion. You don't have to take a special class to take communion. If you believe in Jesus, this is your opportunity to come up here and take time to remember his gift for you, okay? So we're gonna go ahead and do that right now. We are going to dismiss our children, and I'm going to pray for our communion, okay? So, Jesus, we just thank you for this morning. We thank you for a time where we can just come together as a family and worship you, God. We thank you for that synergy that we feel when we're all together in the room and the Holy Spirit is moving, God. We recognize that that is a good gift from you. And we thank you for this time that we have. Jesus, I ask for a blessing over the offering, over the communion. I pray a blessing over Pastor Tana as she gives the word this morning, over our children as they're getting ministered into their different areas, God. We just praise you for this family, God. What a gift it is. We recognize that it is from you, Jesus. We love you and we bless your name. Amen.
Amen. Like Tracy said, this is a little bit different today, okay? Thank you for bearing with us. Again, I want to just tell Diane and the girls, thank you. I know it was a real stretch for them, but they did awesome. Amen. My name is Tana Parker, and Tana Parker McClanahan, so I had to wear the green today, right? I'm married to Brent, who's the lead pastor here, and I have the awesome privilege today of getting to share with you. But before I do, Brent and I just celebrated our 32nd wedding anniversary last week. There's nothing better than a good marriage. I've been in a bad one, and I know what a good one's like, and there's nothing better than a good one. And so we spent the last few weeks just kind of reminiscing about how good God has been to us and all that he's packed into those 32 years and the places we've got to go, the ministry that we've got to do. But more than anything, it's the relationships that God has put into our life. I look here on the third row, and here's a man that we've known years back, and here he happens to show up in this church last week, Israel Thompson. And I value those relationships. I value your the rest of your family members that meant so much to us. And our life is just chock full of people and stories. And one of the stories that we laughed about this last couple weeks was we remembered a young man that went to our church, and he was just brilliant. His name was Andrew, and he was musically just over the top. He, could perfect pitch. He could play any instrument. He sang like nobody's business. And he was just humble and very kind-hearted. So when he graduated and went away to college, he left a really big hole. And shortly after he went to college, we found out that we had to go to a leadership training in his town. And we said, we are going to call him up, take him out for lunch or whatever. So we set it up, and we got to take him to his favorite coffee shop. And we just had this awesome time of visiting with him. And when it was time to go, Holy Spirit reminded me of something that had happened just a couple weeks before that. Somebody had handed me a $100 bill. And the moment it hit my hand, God said, this isn't for you. You just get to hang on to it and deliver it to who it's really for. And so I felt like Holy Spirit was saying, here's who you give it to. And when you give it to him, tell him how proud I am of him. Tell him how, you know, what a good job he's doing. Tell him that I don't want him to take this money and spend it on washing clothes or paying a bill. I want him to take it and do something really fun just for him with it. So I was really excited. And so as I was hugging him, I reached in my purse and I pull out this bill, and as smoothly as I could, I put it in his hand, and I told him what I felt like Holy Spirit had told me. And it just felt so good. Well, a couple days later, I looked in my purse, and here was that $100 bill. And I'm not the kind of person who carries a lot of money around. So I was like, I called up Brent, and I said, what did I do? I still have that $100 bill. So he calls Andrew up, and he said, what did my wife give you? And he said, a $1 bill. And of course, Brent apologized, got his address, and we mailed off the $100 bill. But Andrew, in his sweet little temperament, he said, I've just been thinking, God, what is it that you would want me to do for fun with this $1 bill? So I tell you that story because I feel like God has deposited something in my heart that he wants me to pass on to you. But just in case the handoff doesn't go so smooth, I want you to know God loves you, he's proud of you, and he really does want you to experience his goodness today. Amen? Let's pray. God, I just thank you for each person in here today, God. I thank you for just the relationship, God, just for giving me the privilege of getting to know a little bit about their life, of building something of your kingdom with them, of calling them family. God, I just ask that you move on each heart, God. As we prayed before service, God, we just want freedom, God. We want you to do whatever you want to in this house today, God. So we just submit ourselves to you, God. I might be doing some of the speaking. I submit myself. But God, for each person who's sitting there, I ask that you give them a big yes in their heart to submit their hearts to you, submit their ears to you, submit their mouth to you, God. We're a family, and we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, a few years back, my sister sent me a podcast of a gentleman named John Peeple, and many of you already know him. He's with the Holy Spirit Renewal Ministries. And I got to hear him in Green Lake, and I've read a few of his books. Like I said, listen to some of his podcasts. But this particular podcast that my sister sent me really spoke a lot to me. And I'll tell you why. The story that he told on there, I might not remember all the details just perfectly, but I remember what God did to my heart when I heard it. And in this podcast, he told how him and his wife woke up one morning and they wanted pancakes for breakfast. And so they got up and he said, where would we go except, of course, the International House of Pancakes? Well, when they got there, they were pleasantly surprised. This young waitress met them, and she was so so cheery. She took their order right away. She put the order in, came to their table. In no time, there was two cups of steaming hot coffee and two platters of tall, stacked-up pancakes. And as they began to spread the whipped butter all over them, they noticed there was no syrup on the table. So they kind of looked around the floor for their waitress, but didn't see her. And they thought, well, she probably went to get the syrup. So they waited a little longer. She still didn't come back in. So finally, they got another waitress to get her attention, and she came to the table, and she said, I'm sorry, is there a problem here? And he said, yeah, we didn't get our syrup. She said, oh, I'm sorry, did I forget to tell you we don't have any syrup today? And he said, no, that was an odd thing, but they just ate their buttered pancakes, and that was it. Well, a couple days later, he wants chicken, so where would he go but Kentucky Fried Chicken? He's standing in line. There's a man in front of him and a man behind him and a waitress behind the counter. When he hears the waitress say to the man in front of him, I'm sorry, we're all out of chicken today. And he said, the man behind him tapped him on the shoulder and said, did she just say there's no chicken here? And he was like so embarrassed, he just nodded his head and slowly moved to the side out the door. He didn't even want to look at him. And that's a odd circumstances that would happen to one person. But when I heard it, the question rose up in my heart. Why do people come to church week after week? What do they come looking for? You know, I'll make it more personal. Why do you come to the gate every week? What is it that you need? What is it that you're looking for? What's the one element that you would be disappointed if it isn't here? Why are you here today? Those are all questions that the Lord put on my heart, and they're questions that I want to ask you today. So in your mind, kind of make a mental note of what your answer is. But while you're doing that, I'm going to ask a few people to come up and help me, okay? Lindy and Becky. Everybody's going, oh, no. It's Jolynn in here. Jolynn, will you come help us? Come take a spot. They're going to help me. They're the ones that prayed that God would do something different. No, no, no. Okay, you got the mics there. I want you three to tell me what is it that you come here looking for? What would you be disappointed if it wasn't here? What is it that you are looking for? Why do you come here, Jolynn?
Family. I mean, you know what I mean when I say family.
Okay.
Friendships, community. Joy. It gives me life being with people.
Okay.
Oh, I could go on and on.
That's okay.
I'm so happy to be here because I love the body of Christ, but I also love going after the Lord with other people that love the Lord so much too, that we're going after. And I missed it this morning, but I love the hour before the prayer service too, where we pray, or before the service, where we pray for the service, and I love that. But I love the people here. I love that the Lord meets us here. The Lord speaks in this place. I could go on, but I praise God for this church.
Amen. How about you, Lindy?
I think I'd have to say the tangibleness of God. God and people, the substance of God, like Holy Spirit's here. In substance, like it's real. It's real people, it's real church, it's real fellowship. It's not, it's authentic. And it feeds you because it's substance. So
amen.
It's life, like Jolynn said.
Amen. That was my answer also, was the presence of God. That more than anything, I need that. Did anybody else Was that your answer, presence? Some of you? Okay. I'm going to have you guys stay here because we're going to do something else. I'm a multitasker, and God's a multitasker, okay? Terry, would you bring those three clipboards up here and give it to them? And I'm going to ask them. Sorry. I'm going to ask them, as I continue to speak with you, I'm going to ask them to just press into Holy Spirit that is here, that his presence is real and that he does love these people and care about them. And I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to highlight just one person for each one of you. And somebody that's hungry, somebody that's desperate, somebody that's saying, I need to hear something from God. And then I want you to just jot down what you believe God would want them to know today, what he would speak to them. And we'll just ignore them, okay? You want me to take the mics out of your hands so you can write or whatever you got yours, okay? And we're just going to ignore them. God knows they're there and he knows we're here, okay? So the presence of God, that's what I believe we all hunger and thirst after. It's what we need. It's life to us. And the Bible tells us that God is everywhere, that God is here, right? And I think he's going to put some scriptures up there in Isaiah 6:3. It says this: they, referring to angels, were calling out to each other, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of heaven's armies. The whole earth is filled with his glory. See, it's like angels see and they recognize what's going on here. They see things that we don't see, right? And I'll just tell you, more than ever, we need to the ministry of the angelic beings right now. We need to learn to partner with them. You know, I've just kind of reached a place where I'm tired of apologizing to people because we believe in angels. They're in the Bible, okay? They minister to Jesus, so I shouldn't feel bad if I want to partner with them, if I need their ministry, all right? But So anyway, God is omnipresent, isn't it? It means he's everywhere. And it's God's presence that's holding everything together, isn't it? It's keeping all things alive. In Colossians 1:17, it says, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. It also says in Hebrews 1:3, he upholds the universe by the word of his power. So just a little side note here, if God is holding everything together with his word, and we're created in his image, how important are our words, right? That has nothing really to do with my message. I just thought that was a good place to throw that in. If he would withdraw his presence right now from us, everything would just disintegrate. So we say, yes, we believe it. God is everywhere. His presence is here. But I want to ask you right now, how much are you personally experiencing him? Right here, right now. It's one thing to say he's here, but are we experiencing his manifest presence? That's great that some of you are. That's wonderful. Too many times I've come to church and I know he's here, but I haven't really experienced him. And I want to see that different. I want to see it that every time that we're together, that there's that God moves in some way, that we see the signs and the wonders and the miracles. Amen. There's too many of us. I've been going to Ruth's class on a Wednesday night, and just, you know, the pain that's still within the body of Christ, the healing that still needs to happen. We need to see things change, and that's what I'm campaigning for. That's what you can vote for me on, okay? amen. So we don't want to just have it in just our heart. We want it to, in just our head. We want it to be in our heart. We want to see it happen, right? We don't want to just think about what happened in the days past and talk about what might happen tomorrow, but we want to experience it right here, right now, right? That's our theme this year. In Amos 4:13, it says this: for the Lord is the one who forms the mountains. He creates the wind, and yet he reveals his thoughts to man. I don't believe we're not experiencing his presence because he's withholding it. There's something on our end that isn't connecting right, because he wants to reveal his thoughts to us. He wants for us to walk in the signs and the wonders and the miracles, right? How many of you know just one word, one picture, one thought can totally transform your world in a moment? How many people have been there, you know, had God just speak one thing, show them one word, one picture, and everything changed? I went to some, and I'm not against counselors, but I went to counselors for years, and I don't know how much money I spent, but it was in an instant when God touched my heart that everything changed, that I was set free, that I was delivered. Amen? So I want you to think about or remember or ask Holy Spirit to remind you of a time when you did experience him in an experiential memory that you have of a time in the past where he did manifest his presence and show you something, okay? He can take us back into those experiences because time is of and in God, not the other way around, right? So when you think about it, what's he showing you? You know, are you feeling his love? Is he transforming some part of you? Is he causing faith to well up in your heart? Is there a new hope that arises? Does depression have to flee from you? It tells us in the book of Job that all the morning stars sang together and the sons of God shouted for joy. You know, have you ever experienced his presence in such a strong way that you wanted to shout, but you held back? I love that Karen Schwayback, so many times in prayer, she was like, shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Shout unto God with a voice of praise. And the whole room just shouts. And when we do, something shifts. Something happens when we'll yield to that shout that rises up within us. You know, when you think about what you've already experienced with him, does your heart burn? You want to experience more? One of my favorite life verses is Ephesians 3:19, where it says, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. Why? That we may be filled with all the fullness of God. I can think on that verse and think on it. What does that look like? What does that mean? Filled with all the fullness of God. It isn't just Jesus loves me. It's he loves me because he wants me to be filled with all the fullness of God. In the Amplified Version, it reads this way. That you may really come to know practically through experience for yourselves the love of Christ, which far surpasses mere knowledge without experience, that you may be filled through all your being unto the fullness of God, and you may have the richest measure of the divine presence, and become a body wholly filled and flooded with God himself. Oh, that's where I want to live, and I'm not there, but to be totally, wholly filled and flooded with God himself. What would that be like? You know, it isn't that he's just asking us to want to have experiential encounters with him just for the goosebumps. He's calling us into a place where we can experience him so that we can become those vessels that are filled up and flooded, you know, spilling over to other people, right? And when that happens, when I come to know his love. So that brings us back to these volunteers. The reason I called these three up is because I believe that they do know that they're loved by God. I believe that they're three examples of people who, when they walk in here on Sunday morning, or when they sit down at their family breakfast table, or when they go to the gym and meet other believers, they are full and spilling over. Amen? So we will ask them who God highlighted to them, and have you released whatever the Lord has showed you? No. Get back up here. No. Okay. Who wants to go first?
Yeah, I'm actually going to share my word and then highlight who the Lord gave me.
Good.
Because I feel like it's not just for one person. If this is for you, it's for the body of Christ. But the Lord does speak specifically to people. But what I saw right away when she told it to me, I saw a pitcher, like a water pitcher, right? And the Lord is pouring it into a cup. And when you pour into a cup, the water, it fills, but it like bubbles. You know what I mean? When you're pouring it in, there's bubbles. So I saw it bubbling and then running over. And I just kept hearing my cup runneth over. Mm. That's been something this person has been asking the Lord, like, fill my cup, Lord, to running over. Because running over means we spill onto others and it affects others. So maybe you've been asking for the more of the Lord, like for more of his presence, the tangible presence of the Lord. And so the bubbles were very specific to the picture that he is filling you. But I mean, there's moments where it's like, whew, and then, you know, it's ebb and flows. So I saw that, and the book of Joel, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. That's cry of our hearts, that the Lord would pour his spirit out on us. Like, I want it on me, not just Amen. You guys, but I want it on me. Amen. I want him to pour his spirit out on me. And it says he will do it. That's a promise of the Lord. So it's going to happen. So that's one of the cries. The other one is, I saw the Father gathering you under his wings, like a mother hen gathers her chickens. So like her little babies, you know, and they gather. I don't know if you watch chickens, but she gathers them. She goes to them and pulls them under her wings. And I just saw the Father doing that as a comfort, as a place of peace. And then he said, I'm going to reveal myself as the Prince of Peace in greater levels. Like, he's going to meet you in the spot of the Prince of Peace. A lot of times we find peace in different things in the world, right? Like maybe some addictions we find peace in, maybe some food or things that we do. People find peace in that. And he's revealing that I am the ultimate Prince of Peace. That's a false peace. I am the Prince of Peace. And that anxiety is going to flee from your life. What level of it is, fear plays into anxiety, that it's going to leave your life when you get filled in the revealing of the Prince of Peace. And the Lord highlighted the white hat.
Who?
The lady in the white hat. I don't know your name off the top of my head. Alexi. Alexa.
Okay. Amen. Did any of that witness to you? Did it encourage you? Did it bless you? Praise God. Praise God. Okay.
That must be the hot row back there, because I have the gal that's right to your right in the camel colored shirt. I felt
which
Holy
one? Right next to
right,
it? Right.
Right.
Okay.
Can you raise your hand? Yep.
Right behind Ruth?
Right to the right of the gal with the white hat. Yeah, right behind Ruth. Yep.
You.
Yep. That's what the Holy Spirit highlighted. The Lord showed me musical notes over you. And that there is a song in you, a melody in you, and that you are a woman of boldness and strength. And I saw the Lord that there has been something that's been starting with you, like an endeavor that has been in the works for a long time. And I saw such a shepherding heart, that you have the heart of a pastor, even though you might not feel like you're in that position, but you move in that way, like with the Father's heart, with the mother's heart. And I heard him say, be encouraged. The Lord is opening up understanding where there's been consternation. And he is establishing your steps with that understanding that he is giving you. And after that, the Holy Spirit showed me that he was mantling you in like a purple garment, that you were rising up and there was this fresh mantle upon you. And it was dignity. It was royalty. And as you move, and as you have moved, you've moved with such honor for people and places, and there's such a tenderness and just an honoring, that is what has opened the doors for this season. And that I heard him say, step in and step through. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lindy. Did that witness to you? Did that bless you? Amen. 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 Thank you. Go ahead, Becky.
Rachel, sorry. You're the one, like, straight shot on you, spotlight.
Who's this? Raise her
Rachel.
Hand. Oh, okay, Rachel. Yes.
Yeah. I felt like the Lord said, I see you. You have hungry, adoring eyes. I hear you say, where else can I go but to the Lord? And I saw you, Rachel, like standing in front of an elevator. And like you couldn't see where the top was. But you opened the door, or the doors opened, and you chose to go to the top floor, to the very top floor. And when the door opened, there was a lush garden in front of you. And it was beautiful. Like it was like a, almost a jungle of greenery and beautiful flowers. And I could smell, like the smell was beautiful and fragrant. And Jesus was right in the midst of all of the things in the garden. And I felt like what he said to you was, the best is before you. Stop and enjoy and notice the beauty I am giving you. And then I heard, all's well that ends well. Things you thought wouldn't end will end. And the very last thing I got was the scripture that, this is a favorite one of mine, came in my head, is it's in Jeremiah. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him.
Amen. 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 Did that bless you, Rebecca? All right. Thank you, Becky. Let's give these guys a hand, but don't leave yet. Give God a hand, right? thank you, guys. Now, what if we all came to church, you know, filled and overflowing, where we were just blessing one another, and you know what I'm saying? What a difference it would be. Or what if, like I said, when we went to our gym, or what if when we met up in Walmart, we were all so full of God that we were spilling over and just flooding the earth, amen? I believe that's where the body of Christ is headed. But Lindy, I saw something when we were sitting here that just I gotta release it. Something just going through my heart. I saw you even as a little girl sitting out under a tree, and it was like you were hearing words in the wind, and it was like you would pretend that it was like the finger of a big finger in the sky that was changing the clouds and writing words to you, and then I saw the years go by and that kind of get just covered over. And I believe that you're stepping into a time where the wind is going to blow again, and you're going to see that dusted off. And some people will say, oh, she's just dusting off old dreams, but God says, no, it's me. I'm the one that's causing my wind to blow, and I'm the one that's bringing it back to the surface, because now is the time. And I saw like this big wooden thick heavy door before you, and it was like the finger of God just gave it one push and it flew wide open. And I heard the Spirit of the Lord say, don't go through it alone. I've linked you up with someone of like faith. I've linked you up with a man who can believe in those dreams, with a man who doesn't think what's in your heart is too far out there. I heard him say, go side by side through every door that I open for you, go side by side, but do go through it, because these doors aren't open just for you. They're open to those who will follow you, says the Lord. And I saw you putting your feet on that foreign soil. And the moment you did, you heard the groans and the moans of that land. And it wasn't just that. I saw you standing before the waters, and there was many voices over the waters. And it was like you were picking up on some of the words and the phrases. And I heard the Spirit of the Lord say that the words of those that have gone before you and labored in those places, that their words are recorded in the dirt. Their words are recorded in the water. There's sounds, there's vibrations. Even the walls that surround those cities, their words are recorded there. And as you go forward, he's going to cause you to hear some of those, and he's going to cause you to release those words again over the waters, again over the land, again over the people, because he has not fulfilled all that he's intended to yet. And even when you sit on the banks, when you will sit on the banks where Lydia sat, he's going to show you things that she experienced. You're going to hear some of the words that were in her heart. And God says there will be times and opportunities for you to speak over the leaders of that land now. And don't hold back. Don't think, oh, I'm the young one. I'm the youngest one. I'm the newest one. I can't speak this out. God said, it's important that it gets spoke out. You be bold. Don't shrink back. He says, don't shrink back, but speak out what I put upon your heart. That it's not a time to sit down. It's not a time to just play house. This is a time that he created you for. Rise up and do it all that he's called you to do, and do it in his strength, says the Lord. Amen. Amen. I love you. I love you. Amen. Amen. Well, you guys can go. Lindy's getting ready to go to Greece and Albania with Brent. Lindy and Scott are, so I'm so excited for them. I know we're going to hear incredible testimonies of. We are. So thank you guys for helping out here. So it's kind of like, where's the syrup? For me, if the moving of the Holy Spirit doesn't happen when we gather, it's like getting a dry stack of pancakes. No syrup on it. Amen. this also got me thinking, if God's, I'm always here, if God is everywhere, then, and this is kind of a childish way to look at it, I guess, but if he's waiting for us when we come here on Sunday, or when we come here on Monday, he's already here, or Tuesday, or Wednesday night, whatever, he's already here. Is there something that he's expecting? Is there something that disappoints him? Not like any of us are powerful enough on our own to ever disappoint God, but do you know what I'm saying? Is there something that he seeks? Is there something he desires? And I guess the verse that came to me is John 4:23, when it says, "The hour is coming, and now is here, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such people to worship him." And I believe that his desire is for us to worship him. To that word actually means to kiss towards, to know him intimately, to desire, I believe that he longs for us to be that kind of people because he knows that's what will change us. When we get in his face, that's when we begin to understand his love and his goodness. From the beginning, I believe God has had a plan for man, and that's to God and one to be one, and to find our resting place in the garden. Amen? To find our resting place in him. There's so much in the story of creation. I challenge you to go back and even just read through the first two chapters of it. There's so many patterns and strategies. And I believe that this is an hour that God is going to begin to release present day truth, that there's going to be new revelation downloaded. I think some of that's going to come from those two chapters. And I know some people struggle with that, but there's just so much. It's like I believe that there's a generation of people that are going to be reading it, and they're going to say, "Well, I know my grandpa said it was this, but has anybody ever seen it this way?" And I want to be one of those that stays open, where I'm not an old Pharisee that says, that, you know, it couldn't mean that, and I'm just stiff-necked and won't even look or listen. I believe another place that we're going to see that happen is in the book of Job. And this is just me, okay? This isn't the gate speaking, and this isn't Brent speaking. He'll probably come back and apologize for me, but I've got the microphone today, so. I believe the book of Job, that there's a lot of present-day truth in there. I believe that God wants to show us some things in there. You know, in that book, there's Job, there's God, there's his three friends, and then there's another character. Anybody know his name? Pardon? Oh, Elihu. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. But Job gets corrected by God. The three friends get corrected by God. But God never says anything to Elihu about all that he says. So I would challenge you to go and read some of that. I just think that there's a lot of truth in there, and I'll just leave it at that. But I will say that he does say, you know, I've stood back and I've waited for those who are older than me, because they're to be the ones that have the wisdom. I've stood back and I've held my tongue, but it hasn't happened yet. And he says, and so now I'm like new wine ready to burst open, and I must speak forth. Like I said, God never corrects him. So just go and read some of that and be open. I believe that we're getting ready to step into a time where there's, some real Nineveh revivals that take place, and some of us are going to rise up as Jonas, and I don't want to be that. I want to be on the edge what God is doing, you know. I look around, and not like I'm trying to say they're old, but I look at like Barb and Virgil and Doc and Allie. You know, they're people who have just kept current with God. They've, you know, every change that's happened, they've been there and they've wanted to learn and to grow with it. And I want to be that kind of person. I don't know about any of you, but that's my heart anyway. Now, so I got way off here on what I was supposed to be talking about. Okay, so, the book of Genesis, like I said, there's just so much, and I believe that it speaks to us that it's always been God's intention to be one with man, and that he's such an incredible God that he planted and built a garden. That word actually means like a garden sanctuary that he built up, that he wanted his people to find their rest there, to be one with him there. I want us to look at the verse Luke 19:10. Or it says, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And that's, I titled this message, I titled it, to seek and save that which was lost, or where's the sir? And, I think it's important that we know that some Bibles, the translations have switched the words to say that Jesus came to seek and save those who were lost. But the actual words in that is that which was lost. And I think that's important because he did come to save people, but it was about more than just taking people to heaven. There was things that were lost, and we talked about this in Wednesday night class. There was more than just people lost. When the people were sent away from the presence of God, they didn't know who they where they belonged. They didn't know who they were or whose God, you know, whose they belonged to. There was more that was lost than just there was this place of rest that was lost, and it wasn't just supposed to be a location. It was a way of life. It was how God wanted us to live. No striving, living from a place of rest in him. Let's see how much of this I already said. So, like I said, I think it's beautiful that God would could create a garden for that. You know, I mean, it tells me about, I don't know, to me, that's just a tenderness of heart. When you think, you know, like science tells us that they've only discovered 4 to 6% of the universe, because when God said, let there be light, that is power is still going forth creating even now today still. It hasn't lost its power. It's still going forth and creating. And so, you know, how powerful, how big is our God? You know what I mean? That he could, with just a few words, still be creating this universe, because just the power in his words. And I think, you know, how high, how low, how wide, how vast is the power of our God. You know, he's so tender and yet he's so mighty. There's so much to him. So for me, when I think that he planted a garden sanctuary and that's where he wanted us to find our place of rest. And even back to the whole creation story, like I said, there's just patterns in there that I think we need to look at. You know, I think it's beautiful that because it was dark and it was chaotic and the Holy Spirit hovered over, or they say vibrated, released a sound. I believe he was singing over the dark, chaotic mess that was there. Then it said, God said, let there be light, and there was light, and then God saw that it was good. The evening passed, and the morning came, and that was the end of the first day. And you can go through day after day, and it was God said, he saw that it was good, evening passed, and morning came. Over and over it goes until it gets to the seventh day, of course. But I just think even in this room, there are people who you feel like, you know, God is at work in your behalf. You've called out to him and you know he's doing something over your dark, chaotic mess. You've even heard the promises being spoken over you, but you haven't heard him say, this is good. You haven't seen the manifestation of it yet. And you feel like that evening hasn't passed. The morning hasn't come. And if that's you, I just want to speak a word over you. I want to bless you, because I believe that God cares, that his promises are true for you. So if that's you, just open your heart and receive it this morning. Father God, I thank you that your word is true, Lord God, from everlasting to everlasting. You never change. I thank you that you're not a man that you would lie. You're not a trickster where you think it's funny to hang it out in front of us and say, well, maybe, and then discourage us, God. Your promises weren't made to frustrate us, God. So I speak to each situation, Lord God, and I say, let it be, Lord God. Break through today, Lord God. Let them see the evening pass and the morning come, Lord God. There's joy in the morning, God. And I just thank you, God, that you Bring joy in the morning to each one of these situations, God. Give them a testimony, Lord God. Signs, wonders, and miracles. We're contending for it, God. And we just ask that by your Spirit, God, that you do what only you can do. In Jesus' name, amen. I say that's how it was until we get to the seventh day, because it never does say evening passed and the morning came. It does say that they heard God walking in the cool of the evening. And I always think, what would that sound like to hear God walking? To hear the footsteps of God in your life. I believe that we too should be able to hear that. And then I wonder, well, did the evening never pass and the morning never come? Because that's where the body of Christ is, to live eternally in a place of rest, no striving. And that doesn't just mean setting down. It means I believe we will be more productive, more fruitful from that place than when we're trying to work for God. You know, I don't want my life to be something where I say, my life was built on all that I did for God. I want my life to be known for all the time I spent with Him. And I believe from that place I will be fruitful. I will be productive. But it's so easy for me to get those mixed up because I'm a doer. Vonda, so are you. We're doers. We want to get that job done, right? If we aren't going to get it done, we want to tell somebody else to get it done, right? But I believe that there's a place of rest where we don't have to strive. And in Him, the fruit will grow. We will see fruit, and we'll see fruit that remains. I believe that place is a place that we're all invited to. Of course, you know, Jesus is our Sabbath. He's our place of rest. I know that it all points to Him, and we are all invited into that. But I kind of get a picture of it. Like, to me, it's like, do any of you have a favorite chair in your living room? And when you walk in to sit down, it's like the kids know it, the grandkids know it, even the dog knows. They better get out of mama's way because I'm going to sit down. That chair has my imprint in it, and it belongs to me, right? It's where I sit down to rest, you know? I might still be doing things, but that's my place of rest. Or I think about a couple. When you fall down after a long, hard day, and you fall down in your warm bed with those clean-smelling sheets, and you just begin to pour it out. You know, you talk and you talk honestly and you vent, and pretty soon the very things that were frustrating you, you're laughing about because you shared them with the right person. It's a place of refuge. It's a place of safety. It's a place of intimacy. I believe that God invites us into a place like that where He said, it's a place just for you and I. It's a place where you can come and I've got ears to hear you. I'll listen, says the Lord. I believe God wants us to spend time with Him laughing. Brent and I spend, some nights we go to bed at 9 o'clock and we don't go to sleep till 1 o'clock because we sit there laughing, we talk, we cry, we pray. You know what I'm saying? And I believe God invites us into a place like that. Nothing's off limit. Amen. He wants to hear everything that's in your heart. He wants you to pour your heart out to Him. Sometimes I just think that I heard somebody say we need to forget about the air in the room and get lost in the atmosphere. We can get so caught up on what is it, you know, what is going on, and we miss the who is going on, right? The kingdom of God is at hand. You know, like I said, there's some of you, sometimes when we're worshiping and you sense the presence of God, you want to jump up and twirl around and run up here and dance like crazy, but we don't. Why? You know, we're more aware of the person sitting by us than the presence of the Lord that's drawing us. Some of us suppress that shout that Karen is so quick to lead us all in. Why? I mean, God has made it so simple. He just says, I'm seeking a worshiper. That's all you have to do is just come worship. Not because he needs it, but he's inviting you into a place where when you look into his face, you remember who you are. You remember where you belong. You remember who he is and who he's created you to be. He's made it so simple. Just worship me, he says. The rest of God, that was lost, but now it's been found. Amen? We've been invited back into that state of being, that way of life. Knowing who we are and who, regardless of what's going on around us. Regardless of who's with me, who's not with me, how much money I have, how much money I don't have. Who's in office, who's not in office. Hello? That's a real thing. You think that things look dark right now? Give it a couple months. It's going to get crazy. And I don't say that because I've been listening to some newscaster that is constantly feeding me with fear. I say that because the Bible says darkness is going to cover the earth. Gross darkness. How much grosser can it get, you know? But it will happen. Our nation is divided. The Bible says anything divided against itself cannot stand. I could just go on and on just about our country, not even talking about world things. But you know what? If I let that control me, if I let that get hold of me and remove me from that place of rest, I'm no good to anybody, right? Just being honest, I steer clear of anybody if they claim to be a believer and their message is full of fear and, you know, just hopelessness. I can't afford to have that in my life. I'm looking for people that are willing to, you know, talk about the hope of the kingdom and the joy of his presence, the assurance of his protection. The peace that passes understanding, regardless of what's going on around me, those things don't change. They're real. They're tangible. They're mine. So if somebody comes to me with a message of no heaven, that has no heaven on earth in it, I have to steer clear of it. We can't afford to be pulled away, to leave that place of rest, that way of life. Because when we do, we forget who we are. We forget whose we are. We forget where we belong. So we just need to rise and shine like the Bible says, amen? He wouldn't tell us to do it if we weren't able to do it. We do it from that place of rest. No strivings in him. Rising and letting him shine through us, amen? This is one of my favorite, another one of my favorite life verses, Hebrews 11:27. It was by faith that Moses left the land of Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He kept right on going because he kept his eyes on the one who is invisible. He was heading back to where he belonged, right? And he knew that the king that was invisible had more power for him than the king that was visible. I believe that's how God wants us to live. Jesus said he would restore all things before he returns. He desired for him and man to live a life of rest in a garden together. A place where heaven touches earth. Where God and man are one together in this garden. And I think that he came up with a really good answer. You know, his solution was that he would come and live in us. That's where the garden would be, that our rest would be Him, Christ in me, the hope of glory. It's in there where the fruit is grown. Amen. So what's my point? I can see that all over everybody's head. Question marks over here. What the heck is she talking about? Well, I make it simple. I just say, you know, as surely as pancakes go with syrup, and as surely as you should be able to buy chicken in KFC, when the church comes together, God manifests His presence. Amen. He is with us. He is with us. And when we experience that presence, we'll experience that rest. We'll be restored back to how it was before we fell. To know that there's more that was lost than just me not going to heaven. That He wants me to know where I belong. He wants me to know who I am. He wants me to be that vessel that knows that I'm loved and I'm spilling, you know, flooding, spilling over on everyone that I come in contact with. That I have a word that's just instant in the moment. I meet somebody in the post office and there's a word for them, you know. God showed me this. You know what I'm saying? When we're in the restaurant, wherever God sends our feet to go, that we're willing, that we're ready. Amen. And we don't have to strive at it. It'll just come from that place of rest. So my points are pretty simple, like I said. And you might be sitting here thinking, well, you know what? I don't even know this God that you're talking about. I didn't know that He wanted to live inside me. And if that's you this morning, and he you feel Him inviting you, you feel Him pulling on your heart. We all feel Him. It isn't like He waits till after we get saved to start talking to us. My word, before time was, before I was born, He was speaking to me. He speaks to us as children. He's constantly drawing and pulling. It's just that we don't recognize it. But right now, if you're sitting here and you feel a pull on your heart and you're like, you know, I don't think I've ever given Him that place. I don't think I've ever said, you know, come live in my heart. Reveal yourself to me. Then with everybody, all heads bowed, if that's you, I want you to be bold and to raise your hand because I'd like to pray for you. Is there anybody here that needs to ask Jesus to come into their life and be their Savior and their Lord? It's something all of us have done, so it isn't like anybody's asking you to do something different than the one sitting next to you. I feel like there's somebody here, but if no hands are raised, is there anybody that feels like they need to get prayer? If not, then we'll just close like this. Father God, I just thank You, God, that You're so faithful to keep drawing us. You're so patient and long-suffering with us. We love You, Holy Spirit. We love that you would choose to live in vessels like us, and that you don't just get mad and pouty and you fly away. But You've said You would never leave us, that You would never forsake us, God. No matter what path we take You down, You go with us. You said if we make our bed in heaven, You are there. If we make our bed in hell, You are there. How good You are, God. We just say, continue working with us. Continue to keep our face to Your face. God, we don't want to be offensive to the world around us. We don't want to be offensive to our family members. We want to be something that waters, something that washes over, something that feeds, God, something that waters, Lord. And we know that only comes from keeping our face in Your face, from allowing You to work through us, God. So we just say thank You for today, God. Make us aware of those people that we cross paths with, that it's not by accident, God. Continue to use us, and we just say thank You. We give You praise, and we give You glory in Jesus' name. Amen. I just want to thank you for allowing me to minister to you today. And if there are some of you here that still feel like you need prayer, I'm sure some of my volunteers would come back up here and we would pray with you. So otherwise, go out and give them. Thank you, God.
Oh, you're sweet. Like, everybody shut down for? Oh. Okay, good. I feel like there was a girl out there that I thought needed it, but she didn't raise her hand. Yeah. You need prayer? Are you going to pray with us? Yeah, okay. I better shut this off.
Falling down in worship, sing the song of ages to the